Hello and welcome to the Take One podcast from All Sociology, part of the Edify Network. My name's Ben, and if you haven't tuned into this podcast before, it's me, a sociologist and sociology teacher, banging on about an issue of sociological importance for somewhere between half an hour to an hour. Sometimes it'll be on a topic that's directly related to an A-level, GCSE or undergraduate sociology course, and other times it'll just be me riffing about something related to the subject I teach and the subject I love. Every podcast comes to you live and direct from All Sociology Towers, aka my pokey little gaff in the east of England, and each one's done on the first and only take, hence the name Take One. Every episode aims to help you better understand sociology, and I try to make them as accessible as I can. There's no fancy editing, no bells and whistles, it's just pure, uncut All Sociology. But enough of that, let's get down to business. Hello and welcome to this, which is a very experimental podcast. It's a podcast that I'm running all about the All Sociology Guide to Going Away to Uni, but I'm also doing a bit of an experimental live stream on Twitch Live as we do this now. So it's currently 20 past 12 on, what day is it today? Wednesday, the 19th of August. And we're just going to do a bit of an experiment, see if this works. So basically, the whole reason behind this is, like, going away to uni for many people marks the point at which they think they go from being a child to an adult. And that isn't necessarily true. And I know that a lot of people at the moment are probably going to be a little bit anxious about going away to university. You're going away to a new town or a new city. You're going to be away from your home and your friends and your parents and all that kind of stuff. So it's quite an angst-ridden time. So I thought what I'd do is put together a podcast that basically will offer a bit of advice to anybody who is going away to uni for the first time in September, October, and hopefully allay your fears a little bit. So I've been wanting to do something like this for a while, actually, but I've generally been rushed off my feet with various other projects and also having a bit of a well-earned break over the summer. So instead of doing what I was going to plan with this, which was basically asking everyone on Instagram what they thought, what questions they had, and then going from that, I decided to kind of just scale it down a little bit. And I've asked, like, one or two people who I really, really trust about this, about questions they have, and they really haven't let me down. So the number one person who's helped me with this podcast is a guy called Dan Thompson, who is one of my ex-students. He's currently started a Twitter feed. His Twitter handle is at SocStudent2020, so at SocStudent 2020, which some of you may have seen. If you haven't, go and check him out. He's definitely going to be worth someone who's worth reading about and listening to, especially over the next 3 years as he goes on to start his sociology degree. And it's really with his questions in mind that I'm going to answer this. We'll go through this podcast, basically. So he's come up with, I think, 14 different questions for me. And these questions are all about, you know, there's a whole range of them. And this is what I'm going to cover. So I'm going to cover some differences between sixth form and uni, the differences between lectures and seminars. One of the questions I had was, should I be doing any prep before I go? How should I spend my time at contact hours? There's a couple of questions about, like, work-life balance and time management and stuff like that, which is a really important theme throughout this podcast. There's a bunch of questions on essays, exams, research, note-taking and revision. So some of the sort of, like, more practical nuts and bolts stuff, particularly if you're taking a social science degree at university. And then we'll come towards the end with looking at some sort of stuff about budgeting, finance, jobs and careers. And then finally, what do I take with me on that first day? Now, for those of you who are familiar with the podcast, previous listeners, you will probably be aware that this isn't my standard podcast. And this is going to be quite a generic approach to giving some advice to going away to uni for the first time. But I am gearing this a little bit at sociology students. So there's like a small amount of sociology in this as there's been in any podcast. But I'm hoping that it will be particularly useful for sociology students because I'm going to bang into a bit of stuff about what you're going to need and how you're going to need to approach your courses and stuff like that. So without further ado, let's get into the first question, which is, what are some of the main differences between sixth form and college and university? Well, for me, there are three main differences. The first one, and the most important one, is personal responsibility. You are the master of your fate and you're the captain of your destiny over the next 3 years or however many years you're going to university. No one's going to tell you to do anything, so you're going to need to do it yourself. Also, don't forget that you've paid for this and it's very, very expensive. It's probably the thing that you spent more money on than anything in your life so far, unless you have an amazing car, which, quite frankly, what you're doing with your insurance premiums must be about 4,000 quid for that. But this is a very expensive thing. Make the most of it and get your money's worth. The second thing, very much related to the first, is freedom. You will notice that you have got basically unbridled freedom, and you can do whatever you like. No one's going to check up on you. No one's going to tell you to do stuff. So you kind of have to be your own boss in your time management. And the last thing, I suppose, is, like, opportunity. So the opportunities that will be available to university, and I'm not even going to go into what they may be because that will be completely individual to you, are just so vast. And so I'd highly recommend that you go and with an open mind and take those opportunities that are presented to you or given to you. I 100% really, one of the big mistakes and big regrets that I have in my life at university was not getting involved in the student newspaper or doing something around reporting or journalism. I really, really should have done that. I didn't because I thought, oh, well, everyone else is going to be better at it than me. I'm not going to be very good. Quite frankly, no one really cares. Like, this is your chance to, like, have a go at things. And if you get it wrong, so be it. So go and have a go. Opportunities, be mindful of the freedoms, but also you've got to have personal responsibility. Okay, so next question is, what's the difference between a lecture and a seminar? This is a quite an easy one because it's quite cut and dry. A lecture is a where you've got a professor or a lecturer talking at you and you are not expected to talk. You're sat in the audience and it's like you're watching a play or something effectively. Whereas a seminar is a professor that's going to be talking with you and you're going to be in a much smaller room. So a lecture tends to be in a big theatre. Often you could have, you know, hundreds of people, maybe even thousands in there. A seminar is much smaller. Are normally about 20 people or so, and a lot more kind of discursive. So you learn about stuff in lectures and you talk about them in seminars. The next question I've got today is, should I be doing any kind of prep over the summer? This is entirely up to you. I would be cautious about doing loads and loads of work because ultimately you aren't going to know what you've got to play with until you get there, until you see what's on your reading list, until you hear from your lecturers what you've got to do and all that kind of stuff. So by all means, if you want to do some kind of recap of stuff, you know, theoretical, methodological stuff that you've done in A-level or any other course you might have taken, by all means, but I really, really wouldn't sweat too much about this. You know, you've just done GCSEs, 2 years, you've just done A-levels, another 2 years, that's 4 years of study with exams at the end of it. Have yourself a break because there are going to be tough times ahead over the next 3 years. Give yourself a break, that's my advice. But if you want to go and do work, by all means, I ain't going to stop you, that sounds wonderful. Just be careful that you're not doing it for the sake of it. Okay, question number four, what's it like having fewer contact hours and how do I spend this time? Contact hours, for those of you who may not be aware, are the time that you have in uni, like in a lecture or in a seminar or in a tutorial with one of your lecturers or one of your professors, okay? So what's it like having fewer contact hours? Well, for some of you, it will be incredibly liberating. For some of you, it might be potentially quite dangerous. So in your first year, you probably have somewhere in the region of about 15 to 20 hours worth of contact time a week. That will definitely decline in the second and third year. And in your last year, I mean, I think I had 8 hours of contact time in uni in my last year, you know, so that's like, you can do that in a day for crying out loud. So you've basically got 20% of your time that's contact and the rest of it is kind of up to you. And that's where the self-responsibility thing comes back in again, being on top of what you've got to do. It's up to you how you spend your spare time, really. My advice would be to get into good habits early on, particularly important this year, given that lots of you would have been out of practice of doing exams and studying all that kind of stuff for about 6 months, probably more by the time you go to university. So have a think about like how you're going to get back into those good habits. I personally had really poor self-control at university and I knew I had poor self-control. I knew I wasn't, if I didn't put the pressure on myself to do something, I wasn't going to do it. So what I did was when I was on campus, so I had a lecture at 10 in the morning and I might have had a seminar at 2 in the afternoon. I went in for 10, but then I stayed at uni all that time and I went to the library and spent that time just being a swat and just reading stuff and making sure that I wasn't getting up to mischief, basically. So keeping your good time management is a real solid piece of advice from me, but you might be way better with your time management than me. Speaking about time management, how do I maintain a balance between social and academic life? Well, like, to be honest, like, this is, I can understand the worry about this, but to be honest, this will kind of take care of itself. You're constantly going to be around people, so you've got the social side of it taken care of. You're very, unless you are like off your own back, like looking not to hang out with people, which is totally fine as well, then you're going to have loads of stuff to do, loads of people to hang out with all of the time. But the thing you have to remember is that everybody there is going to be in the same boat. You're in a place with thousands of other young people and you've all got ultimately a lot of spare time on your hands, but you've also got something there to do and you're all going to be working towards something. So you all got this spare time, but you're all going to know you've got things to do. So my advice is to, like, when you are like wanting to be social, put yourself in a social situation, put yourself in your flat, you know, your living room or a communal area or whatever it might be. And when you know you've got to do some work, tuck yourself away somewhere. So, like, personally, what I did was I had a little workplace that was mine, and so I would always go to the library, and I'd move around the library, different floors, different parts of the floors, so that people didn't know where I was, so that people couldn't come and just have a chat to me or whatever else. So, like, that's how I would do it. I would, like, really clearly demarcate what your, like, your work life is and what your social life is. But again, this is coming off the back of someone who knew that they weren't very controlled and restrained, and so I had to do that for myself. It was like I voluntarily put myself in handcuffs for 3 years, basically. Wasn't really like that. I had a great time. So, yeah, keep a lot of workspace your own. But also remember that an awful lot of contact. This is going to be one of the things that's different really for you guys, for me, because whilst we did have mobile phones, I'm not that old, when I was at uni, we didn't have smartphones in the state that we have them now. And you've got to remember that an awful lot of your contact is going to come through that mobile phone. There he is. And put it away. Put it somewhere else. Like, honestly, I cannot recommend highly enough how, like, more productive you'll be if you put your phone away in another room for an hour, or don't take it with you. I know it's really, like, scary, but it's incredibly liberating. When you haven't got a phone with you, it's like, this is actually quite nice. So try it out and see how you get on. The next question is, we're looking now a bit about, like, exams and revision and all of that kind of stuff and essay writing. So the first question that Dan put to me was about how are uni exams different for GCSEs and A-levels. Like, I'm going to be honest with you, this is something that I really struggle to remember. I can't remember my exams that well. I can remember my finals and being really, really nervous before them. So, like, my knowledge and memory on this is a little bit sketchy. But the key thing, obviously, they're going to be longer and obviously way more focused than your A-levels are, because you're looking in depth at one subject rather than looking across a breadth of three or four subjects or whatever, like, you have been doing in your A-levels. So you've... It depends on, like, how your institution, how your university is going to, like, administer the exams. But as I recall, there wasn't a kind of a mark scheme per se. So, like, college or at sixth form, you might be used to seeing, oh, okay, I need to do X, Y, and Z to get, in sociology, a 17, 18, 19 out of 20. You won't get that, I don't think, at uni. But again, it might be different for you to what it was for me in the in 2004 to 2007 at Birmingham. It might be completely different these days. So just go and check it out. But be aware, they are going to be longer. I think the longest one I did was 3.5 hours. And they did, I think they gave you a break halfway through it. Like, I think they, like, do you know, like, if you've ever been to football, a football match, and at half time sometimes they let people out to, like, have a cigarette or whatever, and they put them in the pen. It was a bit like that, and so you could go out and you could have a bit of pressure, you could go and have a drink or a cigarette or whatever it is people wanted to do, and that happened. So I think you get breaks in them as well. I might be wrong, don't know. Suck it and see what happens. Next question is, any advice on essay writing, especially referencing? So yeah, referencing is probably something that most of you haven't yet done to any great extent, but basically every bit of work you do at university that's done sort of, like, not in an exam situation is going to need to be professionally referenced, okay? So I guess the thing with this is, like, don't worry about it. They teach you this very early on, and I remember having at least one lecture and probably a seminar or so on the process of referencing. Now, there are a bunch of different styles of referencing. I imagine that your university will either use the Harvard or the Oxford style, but I don't know that. So I'm not going to tell you how you go through that, not least because it'll be a really boring stream and really boring podcast, but your uni will tell you that in, like, really kind of clear detail. I remember in my course pack, I had, like, it was like the breakdown of how you did, how you reference different things. So the way you reference a book is different how you reference a journal article, it's different to how you reference a website, it's different how you reference a DVD or a podcast or something like that, okay? So completely different ways of doing things, but you'll suck that up and you'll figure it all out when you get to university. The key thing with referencing is you have to do it because it shows that you are taking someone else's ideas and using them to support your own ideas. Now, if you don't reference, what your tutors and your lecturers and stuff are going to do is they will get you done for plagiarism, which is effectively you passing off someone else's work as your own. So let's just say you're making an argument about, oh, I don't know, whatever, women's unfair amount of domestic work they do at home, and you might even use a phrase like, oh, women have a dual burden. Now, if you don't reference Anne Oakley 1974, The Sociology of Housework, page numbers and all that kind of stuff, you'll get done for plagiarism because you've just taken Anne Oakley's idea, the dual burden, without attributing that to her. Okay, so referencing is really important, but check it out when you get there. What have I got here? I've kind of jumped away a bit. Oh yeah, advice with essay writing. Okay, this is massively important and I can't stress this enough. Time management, people, right? the likelihood is that you're going to be doing like somewhere about 6 modules in your first year. So your course will be made up of a bunch of different modules, and I think it's made up of, it certainly was when I was there, 6 different modules. Now, for each of those modules, you're going to be getting essays and assessments once a semester, so once a term, maybe more, maybe even at half terms. And as is Sod's Law, they all are going to fall at once. They'll all be due on the last day of term or the penultimate day of term or something like that. So what you are going to need to do is make sure that you manage that time across those variety of essays or assignments that you're going to be doing. Now, it sounds horrendous when I'm saying this to you now, but believe me, it becomes almost second nature when you get to university, and they will teach you, like, they will give you sort of heads up on things you should be doing at various times. But again, this is your own personal responsibility. If you don't manage your time, no one's going to do it for you. And if you don't hand something in, there's none of this like, oh, sorry, it's a day late, just take it. It'll be, no, sorry, if you're a day late, you'll get docked 10% of your marks. And that's a very standard practice at university. So being on top of things is like so bloody important, because if you don't, it's very easy to feel like you're drowning. Okay, so be organized in handing your stuff in. But another thing that's going to lead on to something I'm going to talk about in a minute is be organised in getting your literature and your stuff that you're going to need for those essays and assignments ready. Because one of the worst things that can happen is if you've left it a little bit too late to write an essay and you've got like a few days to write it, you go down to the library or look for the books and there's none there because everyone else in your course has got them, you're a bit screwed in that respect. Okay, so be on your game, make sure you manage your time. I'm shouting all this at you and being like, oh, it might be completely different, man. I don't know. Maybe all of the books are on the internet these days and ebooks. I don't know. But like when I was at university, they weren't. They were like proper paper books. Any advice on essay research? What sources should I be looking at in the absence of a textbook? So yeah, it's a really good question, because when you're at A-level and GCSE, you get normally a textbook, and lots of students choose to buy that, and it kind of guides you through the course. It tells you everything you need to know. It's basically the course in a book, isn't it? So effectively, if you think about it like this, you buy a book for 25 quid or whatever, and that kind of takes you through the course. It's not really like that at university, although you will get like course guides, you'll get reading lists and stuff like that that will tell you what you need to read. But effectively, this is a world without stabilisers. This is a world where people aren't going to necessarily be giving you stuff to do. Oh, this is what you need for that. No, you go and find it yourself, right? So it's very much a world where you're going to be grappling with primary texts firsthand. And when you're going to be writing about someone's ideas, Weber, Marx, Durkheim, whoever, you're going to go straight to their source. Why listen to what someone else has said about them when you can go straight to their source? And obviously you get to reference that particular sociologist, whether it's Marx, Durkheim, Weber, whoever. Now, having said all this, edited books are also very, very handy. So going straight to the source, so your primary text is great, but also edited books, which are basically books of like collections of essays that have been put together by an author on a particular topic. So sociology and family, sociology and film, or whatever it might be. Okay, so edited books are another one you might want to have a look at. Oops, I've gone too far ahead. I'm going to go back a little bit. Yeah, let me go back. This is the... there we go, cool. The other thing that you are going to find out about is that there are certain key texts, and your lecturers or your course leaders or whoever will probably push you towards these. Now, just be a little bit careful about this, just that you'll notice that a lot of these texts are quite expensive, sort of 40 quid books, and they're often written by the people on the course. And often what I found, not to be cynical here, but like certainly when I was at university, a lot of the, not all, but some of the lecturers would basically convince you to buy their book and the book you didn't really need for the course. Okay, so just check it out a little bit. Be a little bit canny with like looking at PDFs and stuff online. Make sure you've read stuff before. Don't just go and spend 40 quid on a book, because it's a lot of money, and that 40 quid will do you for 2 weeks worth of food later on down the line. So be very, very careful about that. The other thing I mentioned previously, reading lists, so your departments and your lecturers and whatever will give you reading lists, which are basically like paper copies of just bullet points of books and texts and articles to read. You won't be expected to read all of that stuff, but it will be an expectation that you get yourself into that. And those reading lists are going to be the best thing that you can have to guide you in terms of what you need to research. But when you do an assignment on something, you may well be taking that in a completely different direction to what has been taught to you, and that's absolutely fine. This is what university is for. Yeah, you do it to like have independent study. So when you come to write an assignment, you're going to have to pick the texts and the books and the sources that are going to be relevant for you for that particular text. That's a bit of a long answer. And the other thing I've got to say with this is the internet. You might have heard of it. It's going to be really big in a few years' time. You'll get access to loads of academic journals, newspapers and other kind of publications through your university. And they will let you read like the latest research on a particular topic without paying huge subscription fees. So that's awesome. Make the most of them. So you'll be introduced to things like JSTOR and probably LexisNexis when it comes to newspaper articles and stuff like that. Really handy resources. Just very quickly, a few years ago, so when I was at uni, roughly 15 years ago, universities were a little bit sniffy about referencing and citing directly from the internet. Now, I don't know if this has changed because I don't mix in academic circles anymore, probably for the best, apart from being a teacher, but I don't mix in like university, like higher education academic circles, so I don't know if this is still the case or not. You'll have to check it out. But for the most part of your referencing and your reading and your research will be based on books, edited books and journals and things like that. Okay. So where are we now then? Question number 9. Any advice on making notes in lectures? How much should we be writing down? Well, again, this is like your personal preference. Personally, when I was at university, we didn't have any kind of course conduct. What am I talking about? Course handouts or anything like that. Everything was kind of you. Like you had a reading list and a pen and paper and that was it. Now, I imagine that in 15 years, things have moved on a little bit and you might well have online lecture notes. If you have, I would advise you to take advantage of them. I'd print them out before I went to the lecture and write my notes around those lecture notes. The other thing, I guess, as well, is like, I used to write like a madman. And I think that on the one hand, like that was a really good thing because I'd come away from my 2-hour lecture with, you know, 7-8 pages of notes. It'd be great. But on the other hand, like, I hadn't really been putting my full attention into that lecture in many cases. So it's a skill that you get like better at over time, if I'm honest. Like I remember back now, first year, I was sat there writing down like a madman, like my life depended on it. Third year, I would probably be a lot more kind of laid back, sitting back, making a couple of notes here and there. You'll find your own style with how you do this, but the key thing of this is you won't be expected to know this straight away. Suss it out. See how you get on with different sort of approaches to taking notes in lectures. Right, any advice on revision? Is this tackled in a different way to sixth form or college? Well, yeah, basically, because effectively, revision where you're going, effectively, revision doesn't really exist. What I mean by that is that it doesn't work in the same way that it does in schools, because your ultimate grade is made up of so many different components. So you've got your different modules, 6 modules per year, roughly. And within those modules, you're going to have probably a couple of assessments. So you might have, you might even have 2 essays and an exam. You might have an exam and an essay. It might be all exam, might be all essay. I don't know. But that is a continual, like, cumulative progression all the way through university. So it's not like in like sixth form where you're building up to this big day or these 3 big days at the end of the year or whatever it is. You do that in your finals, of course, but the way you build towards that final grade is so much more kind of like, oh, it's absolutely chucking down the rain outside. It's so much more kind of like piecemeal, and you will know as you're going along like how you're doing in comparison to where you want to be. So for instance, you'll know at the end of the first year you get an average of an X percent. Okay, and the general rule of thumb is you want to be getting above 40%. Below 40 is a fail. If you get anything above 70, you're doing incredibly well. Because I'm not going to go into the first, second, thirds and all of that, but if anything above 70 is great, anything below 40 is not so good. If you're between 40 and 70, you're doing all right. Okay, advice on revision. What else can I tell you about this? Like, again, it comes down to self-responsibility, time management, and you looking after your own self. So, as I said, you won't win or lose your grade overnight or on one piece of work. And arguably, you can do that at GCSEs and A-levels. If you have an outstanding exam, but you've bombed everything else in the course, you can still come out with a great grade at A-level or GCSE. It ain't like that at university. It's very much assessed over time. So, like, I think one of the things for you guys really is that you can't get away with just not working for this. Your revision effectively is a continual process of learning, and at the end of your 3 years you should have, and you get total kind of freedom in terms of questions you answer in your final exams and all that kind of stuff, but you will know your stuff believe me, it'll take you 3 years, but you'll get it by the time. So don't worry about revising. Don't think about too much about like having to do particular things. Of course, read over your notes from your lectures and your seminars and stuff like that. But beyond that, you'll just have to see how it is for you. Okay. Right. So that's all of the kind of like revision, rewriting essays, all that kind of crap out of the way. So this one is now about budgeting. Any advice on budgeting? No. All I'd say is don't spend your last tenner on booze and scratch cards like I did. Although it did work out well because I won 70 quid off that scratch card, and I still tell this story to everybody who listen, including anyone who's listening to this right now. But don't do that. In all seriousness, your loans are not going to be enough for you to live off. So get that idea out of your head really quickly. However, there are ways and things you can do to help yourself, like, for instance, not going to Selfridges down the Bullring each day that your loan comes in and spending like 400 quid on nice clothes, because that ain't going to help you out. And I don't know who would have done something like that. Anyway, accept the fact your finances are going to be shagged, but don't just roll over and die. So avoid things like payday loan companies, avoid things like credit cards for as long as you can, really. Avoid going into your overdraft for as long as you can. You are almost certainly going to have to go into the overdraft. You're almost certainly going to get a credit card or get some sort of like additional support aside from your loan during the time you're at university. So don't sweat that's going to happen, but don't think, because I know some people who have done this and just thought at uni, oh, do you know what, I'm 4 grand in debt, might not make it 20 grand. And they're still paying it off now. It's not worth the hassle, because believe me, uni's great, but most people should be pretty poor there. So like, embrace that like poverty amongst yourselves and enjoy it, man. Like, there's nothing wrong with having a few cans at home rather than going out to some fancy bar. Like, it just be sensible with your money and don't do what I did and box it all on the first day or whatever. Couple of other things, like I'm going to mention to you very, very quickly, that are probably going to upset some people here, but I don't really care. Takeaways are really bad value for money. There is a very high sort of tendency and temptation just to buy takeaways. I remember there was a flat across where I lived in first year. Flat of lads, didn't like them, knobheads, but all they ate was pizza for like the first 2 weeks, and like, I don't think they had much money left. And also, I think they started to get like scurvy and stuff like that. So don't do that. Make your own dinners. It's much much cheaper. When you're going to go out to buy your food in a supermarket, I believe they're called, go to Lidl and Aldi. Don't go to Waitrose or Marks and Spencer's. Man, you can't afford that stuff. Bruv, I can't afford that stuff when I'm 34 as a teacher. So you certainly won't be able to afford that as a student. Go to Lidl, go to Aldi. Go if you can, if you want to go and wrestle with like the old people down Asda at like 8 o'clock on a weeknight, and you want to get like the yellow sticker items, go and do that, man. Go and have a little fight with them, but keep your social distance, obviously. The other thing, be smart with your bills, right? It's more of a second and third year thing, because in first year you'll be in student accommodation, second, third year you'll probably have moved out into your own house or whatever. Things like Netflix, Spotify, Amazon Prime, memberships, split them as well as your utilities. If you live with four other people, there's no point in all of you having Netflix. One of you buy Netflix, one of you buy Spotify, one of you buy Prime, one of you buy something else, all right? Sky Sports or whatever it is you want. Okay, actually, don't buy Sky Sports. Bloody waste of money. Well expensive as well. Unless, of course, you live with like four people and you each want to pay a fiver. That works then. Okay, so last thing to say as well, like really... Oh, God, I'm getting all croaky. I better have a nice sip of coffee for my delicious mug. I'm getting too excited. Last thing to say is I had something to say. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, use a student discount. So uni days, student beans, those kind of things. If you get a train anywhere like more than once a year, get a 16 to 25 student rail card. I think they're like 25 quid. That will pay for itself in its first journey. So if you're living anywhere more than like an hour away and you know you're going to be training back and forth, get a 16-25 rail card. I promise you it will save you money. And that's it really for my advice on budgeting. Don't be me. Save your money. Be careful, because you will run out of money at some point. Right, some stuff here about, is it recommended to get a part-time job? If so, what are my options, on versus off campus? Well, personal preference, and it depends on how much you like money and how much you are materialistic and how much you spend and all that kind of stuff. Up to you. Personally, I didn't. Because I didn't like the idea of having an extra responsibility on top of getting my degree. That really freaked me out. So I wanted to focus all my energies on my degree. So I think when I was at university, I lived with five people in my second and third year. I think three of those five had like part-time jobs. Two of us, me and another girl, we didn't have one. So it's kind of like, it's up to you, really. What I did, however, was I just worked full time, like in summer holidays and stuff like that. So working in kind of crappy jobs, but just getting that money together in your holidays. So one of the questions here was like, what are the options for jobs on or off campus? Well, it depends what kind of campus you're on. It depends what kind of city or town you're in as well. My assumption would be that you're likely to be in a larger town or city, so that's probably going to be your best bet for jobs. So bar work, shop work, anything like that. Temp work's really good. So like, if you ain't really bothered about what you do, like, I don't really care, I just want some money. And I worked in factories, I worked in as a cleaner, I've done loads of crappy jobs. Go to agencies because they will give you a half decent wage for doing that, and often you can get paid more working in a factory than you can working in like a customer facing role, which is quite interesting as long as you don't mind doing the same thing over and over again. What else was I asked here? Yeah, I think like on campus, if you can get yourself a job on campus, there's certainly going to be worse jobs you can have than, you know, pouring pints for students or being a librarian, but I think those jobs are going to be a little bit few and far between. I might be wrong. What I did, so aside from working in like factories and stuff like that and cleaning, I worked for the University Accommodation Services between second and third year. Sorry, first and second year and second and third year. And basically all I did, it was a great job, super DOS. I was like a handyman. I went all, when all the students had moved out of their accommodation, I went in, did an inventory check, anything broken, anything worth having there, checking the stuff out, and someone else went and cleaned it. And that was a really good job. So that might be something you want to have a look at as well, because all of universities are going to be wanting people like that. So accommodation services people. Coming towards the end of this now, should I be looking at, or should I be starting to look at careers in second or third year? Again, it's personal preference. It's very much dependent on how much you know about what you want to do. But at that point, I know that I didn't have any clue. I didn't really know what I wanted to do until I finished university. So, and arguably, I don't know what I want to do now. But you, if you know what you want to do, go for it. If you don't sweat it. Like, there's a lot of, one of the things I really hate about like young people, and I think this does dissipate as you get older, is this sort of sense of like competition between people. And so, like, when something has to be done, people will go, "Oh, well, I've already got my job. Oh, I've already applied for five." Like, don't worry about those people. Like, either they're lying or like whatever, who cares? Like, go and enjoy your job at KPMG, enjoy yourself. You're like, just hold your fire, you know, don't jump for the first job that's offered to you. I honestly think that when I finished university, I moved back to my parents, thanks mum and dad, and I spent about 4 months looking for jobs, going to interviews, writing CVs, writing what they called application letters, all of that kind of stuff. So, and ultimately, I was pretty pleased that I did that, because it meant that I got the job that was actually better suited for me, rather than just jumping on the first graduate job bandwagon that might have been available to me. So I think like one of the things is, like with me particularly, I'm not particularly good at doing multiple things at once, or certainly didn't used to be. And so like, don't get distracted about what's happening after uni while you're still at uni. Don't lose sight of the prize. So Confucius, the famous philosopher, once said, "The man who chases two rabbits catches neither." And I think that's quite true here. Get your uni sorted, get your degree, and then worry about your job. Don't sweat getting that all done without any kind of overlap. I finished uni in, Christ, when was it? July or something like that. I didn't start my job until the January. So it was actually about 6 months. So yeah, just be prepared for that. You might not have to do it. If you don't, that's awesome, but just be prepared for the fact that it might have to do that. And then, yeah, right, cool. Okay, so final question. What advice do you have on what to or not to bring to uni accommodation on your first date? So again, like, personal preference as always. Like, what you want is what you want, not what I want. And I think you probably may well have been advised by universities about stuff you can bring or don't bring or whatever else, so pay attention to them far more than me. But I think in the first instance, what you want to make sure is that you've got yourself sorted, and you'll soon work out what you need personally and what your gaff needs, i.e. what other people have forgot to bring or haven't brought as well. So let's think about like the rooms you're going to have at your disposal. So first of all, your bedroom, or like your room, first and foremost, make sure you're as comfortable as you can be. So you want your home comforts, bedding and stuff like that. Bring two sets, because you're going to need to put one on when one's in the wash. There's sort of things that you don't realize necessarily. Photos, posters, all of that kind of jazz. You're also going to make sure you want to have your tech set up and like get that done quickly, so your computer and whatever else. Try and find out what internet connection is like at your halls or your flats before you get there. Make sure you can find out whether you need any extra USB cables or HDMI cables or whatever it might be. The thing is, you don't want to be without connectivity early on, but accept that you might be. I remember when I started university, I don't think I had internet for like a month. I mean, the internet was a different ball game back then, but I didn't have it for ages, and you know, it just one of those things. But you probably will see that as a far more kind of essential need for you these days. So that's key. The other thing as well is like, don't forget the plugs to stuff. Like, it sounds ridiculous, but I remember someone brought a TV up and we were well happy. Hey, we've got a TV. They didn't bring the plug. So it's no point having a bloody great telly if you haven't got a plug to put in it. So keep an eye on that. Your bathroom, like, I'm not going to spend much time on this, but take all your usual stuff. Take a couple of towels at least. Maybe some spare loo roll. Some people like to keep a spare loo roll in their room just in case, because this will happen to you many a time when you go to the loo and there's no loo roll left and you want to make sure that you can, you know, do what you need loo roll for. So that's important. And then the kitchen, right? The kitchen is a real minefield. And at least at first, make sure that you've got like the basics to be able to cook yourself a few meals. Now, I'm going to list off a bunch of stuff here that you may have, you may not have. But this is kind of like, if I was doing it again, this is what I would take with me. I would take a large pan, a frying pan or a wok or a griddle. I would take a saucepan, a measuring jug, a baking tray, an oven-proof dish, a couple of plates, a couple of bowls, a couple of side plates. All my cutlery. I'd definitely take a potato peeler or a vegetable peeler. A can opener is always important. A chef's knife, maybe a paring knife, maybe a bread knife as well. And that's a lot of knives there, but knives are important because they help you chop stuff and we can't just eat things massive, can we? And also things like chopping boards, a couple of glasses, a tea towel. And of course, you're definitely the one thing you've got to be taking to university this year is your All Sociology mug. So if you haven't yet got yourself your hands on one of those, they are now available. I've got a shed load of them. Well, I've got enough of them here in All Sociology Towers in my gaff. In the first instance, I'm offering them up to ex-students first of all. And if I don't have any more orders by the 1st of September, then I'm going to start basically flogging these mugs off the internet. So if you want one of these delightful mugs, they've got I Love All Sociology that side, and they've got AS that side. In fact, this is an old, let me get you a mug, hold on one second. This is an old version of a mug. So I'm just gonna go and get you one of the new ones. It's back again. Right, so that's an old version of a mug. You can't buy them ones anymore. They are literally collector's items. So this is the new mug. I'm quite excited about this, actually. So for £8 sterling plus postage and packaging, you'll get yourself a beautiful I Love All Sociology mug. It's cool, isn't it? And then All Sociology. Yay, look at that. So £8, one of them. If you want one of them, get in touch with me, ex-students. You can speak to me on my usual address or drop me an email or a DM or whatever like that. Anyway, so get yourself a mug. The next thing is to say is like everything else, things like, I don't know, cheese graters and stuff like that. Don't worry about it. Like, if you haven't brought it, someone else would have brought it. And if you desperately need one, you can just put in 50p each and buy a cheese grater between you. Okay. Now, kitchen part two, this is the last thing I'm going to talk about, is about what food do you take when you go to uni. Now, that is entirely your call. You might have your own individual dietary requirements or whatever else. I know when I went to university, I'm not anymore, but when I did, I was a vegetarian and I was a little bit sketch about that. Oh no, what if people put their meat next to all my stuff? Don't worry about it. People are generally pretty understanding about all this kind of stuff. The thing I'll tell you about like what you should be taking in terms of food and drink is, if you like a tasty drink, let's say you like a tasty alcoholic drink or even non-alcoholic drink, take some of that with you and bring plenty of it with you that you can share with your neighbours. Don't forget that these All Sociology mugs are absolutely designed for holding both hot and cold beverages, so these are 100% the kind of vessel that you want to be putting that mug, that drink in. But if you're thinking, if you're sat here thinking, oh my goodness, I don't know how to cook anything, what on earth am I going to do? I'm going to be one of those people that eats pizzas for the first like 4 months. Don't worry here, folks, because I've also got your back on this. Very shortly, I'm going to be teaming up with a top chef and a very good mate of mine. In fact, someone I have lived with, not in student accommodation, but someone who's been a housemate of mine, who's called Steve Guy, and he is part of, or is half of, Hungry Guys UK. And Hungry Guys UK are basically like a cooking account on Instagram. They're great. And what they're going to do, we're going to team up, and Steve and Hungry Guys, they're going to put together some really simple student recipes for you. And I'm going to do some podcasts or some work about the sociology about the food that is in those recipes. So there's going to be loads of recipes coming out for you. Well, not loads. It's going to be enough recipes to keep you going. They'll be delivered by Steve. I'll highlight all of that stuff at the time. And then I'm going to do a couple of podcasts relating to the foods and the ingredients he's putting into those recipes about the sociology of those dishes and those ingredients. Okay, so that's basically where we are, folks. There's my 14 questions answered in my guide to going to university. I hope this has been useful for you. I hope I haven't banged on too long. If you are going away to university, you're doing an amazing job. It is a time of angst, there's no doubt about it. And for the first few days, or certainly the time leading up to it, you will be worried. But I can promise you 100% that outweighing those 2 or 3 days of anxiety is going to be 3, 4, 5 years worth of fun, entertainment, and just a really, really great experience for you. So very well done to you all. Anyway, I've been Ben Hewitson. This has been the All Sociology podcast and the first All Sociology live stream. I really hope it's worked. If it hasn't, we can do. But that's my All Sociology guide to going to uni. I'll speak to you again soon. Take care. Bye. So that's it for another episode of the Take One podcast from All Sociology. If you like this podcast or learn something from it, then there's loads of ways you can help me. And the best thing is, none of them will cost you a penny. So do me a favour and subscribe to the podcast wherever you found it. Tell your mates who do sociology about it. Or tell your mates who don't do sociology about it. Rate it 5 stars on iTunes or whatever, and go and follow me on social media. Search All Sociology, ALLSOCIOLOGY, all one word, and you'll find me. Peace out and enjoy yourselves.